I'm Phil Pringle, and welcome to the C3 Church Global Podcast. Thanks for joining us today from wherever you are in the world. C3 Church Global is a family of almost 600 churches around the world, and this podcast is all about equipping pastors and leaders to lead healthy, growing, and multiplying churches. We are Christ-centered, Spirit-powered, and Connect-driven. Every week on this podcast, you will find new and uplifting content to strengthen you, equip you, and help you lead others into a relationship with Christ. You'll find a mix of devotionals that build your faith and your relationship with Christ, as well as rich and empowering conversations with leaders and friends in ministry from around the world. We also bring inspiring testimonies and updates from our pastors and churches throughout the C3 movement on the 64 nations that we're present in. Here's this week's podcast. Hey everyone, welcome to C3 Church Global Podcast. Such a pleasure to have you with us. I have the distinct pleasure today of having with us on our podcast, Pastor Thierry and Marianne Moore from Lausanne, Switzerland. Welcome, guys.
Thank you.
Good to be here with you.
Yeah,
wonderful.
And their church is one of the most amazing churches in the world today. They've seen incredible growth over the last 10, 20 years. It's 20 years since they've been part of C3. Mm-hmm. So even though the beginnings of your journey were not that easy.
Yeah.
Can you relate some of the steps you took in those early days to get launched?
Right.
I remember one weekend where we decided to go to C3 Amsterdam.
Right.
And we were invited. We just hang with the team, watched how they were doing things. And we got a picture of what we could work on.
Yeah.
We had some specific things where it was either you get depressed because you're like, oh, we have a long way to go. But we identified just a few things that we really wanted to work on. Yeah. One of them I remember was the welcome team.
Yeah.
We thought
simple things.
Very simple. Okay, we need to have an awesome welcome team at the door with a badge and with their names and just very practical small things that we started changing. But it was because we visited a larger church that we got that picture of what we could aim for.
Yeah. For me, I guess the first step was really a step in my heart. I had to deal with some issues in my heart, insecurity, finding my own voice. I mean, you talk about that and be comfortable with who I am, realizing, you know, what I've received from God and trusting that that's enough to do the job. So when you look into your heart, very often you find all your weaknesses. And I realized that actually this is good because, you know, God's going to work through your weaknesses. I often say my weaknesses are my only hope. That's my only hope. When I'm weak, then I'm strong, you know.
True.
Then God can do something with me if I'm weak.
And you press into God. You know you're called. You know God has obviously chosen you. And so he's going, okay, he's called us. And now we believe he's equipping us for the job. And we just thought, we'll just do the best we can.
Right.
We will do everything we can to love people, to put things in place. But then also realizing there's something very supernatural in the building of the house of God.
Yeah. Well, today, being in church with you, I mean, we're recording this directly after two services, which were, well, the second one was completely packed. You had people waiting outside for seats. First one was pretty well full as well. And that's where we are today. But when you were way back there, I'd like to just wind it back into some of the smaller details, if I could. You say you went to a C3 church in Amsterdam.
Yeah.
How did that happen? You got invited. Did somebody ask you to come?
Yeah,
the C3 director, the European director.
Newly in the movement, so right. We're longing for relationships.
Yes.
So it's always an open invitation, you know, we're just building the relationship.
That's what we've appreciated the whole time with C3 is that it's relationship based. So as soon as we got into the movement, there was like friends there for us.
We didn't have to be invited.
No, because it's like, come, yeah, you're welcome. And, you know, the director in those days was sharing his heart, giving us some wisdom. But just the fact that we felt included and loved on as pastors, It really made the biggest difference.
Gave us a vision, you know, you could see something.
Yeah. It is. You know, in the journey of growing a church, or in my case, growing a movement, there are people who come and go. Mm-hmm. And that's a wounding experience sometimes, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
And one of the greatest measures, I guess, of people's reliability and faithfulness is to stay true when some others haven't. And you guys have always been very faithful and true. And I think it gets reproduced in your congregation, because as long as I've been coming up here, I keep seeing the same people who are like pillars in the church for you, right, and you've been building with over such a long time. How did those people start to come into your church?
I remember when we took over the church and we started seeing younger people who looked well-balanced and ready to serve. It was like a fresh air coming into the church. Yeah. And we started thinking, okay, we can build with these people. We very quickly identified Cedric and Natasha, and deep down in our spirits, we knew that they were the guys who were coming alongside to help us.
And then just, you know, preaching the gospel, making altar calls.
Yeah.
You know, welcoming new people. So when they first come, obviously they're just new members, new Christians. Then as the year goes by, you know, they grow into mature Christian, and then you can include them in the leadership of the team. So that was, we had quite a few people now that joined the church through
altar calls,
I guess.
Right. Giving their lives to Christ.
So I still remember the day I said, we're going to do an altar call every Sunday and believe for one salvation.
Sunday.
I was small.
Wonderful.
So that was my start. That was my start.
Beginning, yeah.
And so we would do altar call, whatever the message was, just altar calls. And sometimes there were none responding, sometimes once, twice. And we'd been doing it for like 18 years, and or maybe, well, 17 years. And now I think we've got at least 20 hands raised every Sunday.
Yes.
So, you know, that's a way to include people.
That's
bring them in the kingdom. And obviously after that, you have to train them and equip them.
Right.
But then you've got people that are son of the house, you know, they've been saved through your ministry. I don't know if I can say that, but they've been saved through the church, in the culture of the church. And that's they want to make wonderful leaders.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, recently I understood that you actually passed the 2000 mark in your church. So that's, in Europe, that's sizable, because there are not many spirit-filled congregations that exceed that amount. And so getting out of that church mind that is like churches are small, churches are tiny.
Yeah.
In America, a big church is quite common.
Acceptable, yeah.
Even in Australia and in Africa and all sorts of other places, but in Europe, like that small-minded thinking about a church has to be small.
Yeah. And we get criticized for that.
Yes.
Some people don't necessarily like it.
Right.
But we believe, we want to show that God is great.
Yes.
And that there can be lots of Christians together worshiping. It's beautiful, and we're hoping we're influencing society too.
And we are quite pastoral in nature as well.
Yes.
So we keep that pastoral element very present in our ministry.
Right.
So I think even though we are a big church, maybe for Swiss
standard,
even though it's not that big worldwide, but I mean for Swiss standard, it's very a big church.
Yes.
So we keep it, and we want to keep it as a family. So we're very close to people.
Yes.
We try for them to be connected with other people. So the feeling when you come to C3 Lausanne, I hope, is not a feeling of a crowd, but of a family. So that's what we work on. And I think that works well for the Swiss culture.
I think there is a feeling, definitely, of family. When you walk into the foyer, we walked in pretty early today, but people were really buzzing. And yesterday we did the leadership meeting. They were all there when we arrived. And you can tell a church that is healthy because people are really loud talking to each other in that foyer area. Mm. And there's a lot of laughter. Right. And I think laughter and lots of communication provide a very healthy environment for the spiritual life of a church.
Yes,
yeah.
It's true.
on the basis on the subject of large churches and some people having criticisms of it, one of them that I've heard is that how can a large church have quality relationships?
Yeah.
Which what you just answered then. The flip side of that argument is only small churches can have high quality and large churches are low quality.
Yeah.
So my thinking is that if I was a farmer and I grew apple trees and I'm walking down through my orchard looking at the apple trees, if I see an apple tree with, say, 3 apples on it, I'm not going to say, oh, these are high quality. This is a high quality tree.
Totally.
I'm going to say the high quality tree is the one that is going to produce a lot.
Yeah.
And so I've always believed that God is big and that his thinking is never small.
Yeah.
Even though he loves every size church there is, but he does want his people to be thinking far bigger than we have done.
Yeah. And then our responsibility is to put in places where people can gather and be more vulnerable, more honest, share around the table, in connect groups, interest groups, training. There's a variety of things that are happening where people can feel they really belong and know other people in the church.
And relationship is always a challenge. I mean, you can be part of a small church
yes.
and have bad relationships. It's not because it's a small church that it's easier.
But
relationship is always a challenge.
Yes.
The members have to make an effort.
Right.
They have to be proactive in really desiring to belong.
Yes.
So I think that's probably the different mindset is that, as you said this morning, you have to be slightly more productive and to desire that stability in Christ and bringing something to the table
right.
and being a part of the building of the church
that's
rather than
blessing,
just
you know,
receiving.
Taking.
Yeah.
Well, if a person just comes and takes and consumes what's being offered on a Sunday, they're Christian spirit will become frustrated
right.
because the spirit that God has made us, we're born again with that spirit, is a giving spirit. It's a generous, unselfish, serving spirit. So to harmonize our lifestyle with that new creation being.
Yeah. And then we understand that some people come to church and they've been sort of beaten up or broken by life or another church experience. And I think we give them the grace also for a season to just sit, receive that healing and the love of the people, and then suddenly there comes a moment when they want to serve again.
For sure.
And that's a beautiful step when people can suddenly go towards that other dimension of the Christian walk, and we want to give them that acceptance and grace on the journey.
Hey everyone, I believe in the local church. Ever since we started our church way back in 1980, we've been planting churches all around the world, in major cities, villages, towns. And we have seen ourselves plant churches now in over 60 nations in the earth. Last year, we planned to plant 20 churches and we ended up planting 45. This year, we're going to plant another 42 churches. I'd like to invite you to become a partner with us in this grand plan that God has called us to, planting his magnificent church all around the world. It's not an inexpensive exercise to plant churches. It costs a lot to support pastors when they're just starting out and their families and their structures, their circumstances, renting houses, needing a car. And in some of these places, they're very poor. And we want to help them rise up and plant great churches in their nations. You can help us by jumping over to our website, C3 Church Global, and there you will find a giving section, and you can give towards helping us plant churches all around the world. I'm praying for you that as you give, the blessing of God will rest upon your life in abundance. In Jesus' name, God bless you. You guys are fantastic as a couple on the stage. And you've always done this, one speaking in English
right.
and the other in French.
Yes.
And I see you switch that around every now and then. Have you Come on, Terry, be honest. How's that been for you over the years?
Very frustrating. she doesn't translate.
She doesn't translate.
She preaches her own message. And then she corrects me. And it's been tough. It's been very tough on our marriage. But I think people are enjoying it. So, and God is using it.
I saw you there today.
So, yeah,
it was a little moment.
No, I don't know what she was doing.
I think he prefers it when it's someone else translating.
No, I don't.
But I think the church likes it when it's me, because then we sort of go into a game.
It's a bilingual church, so there's a reason for why we're doing it that way.
Yeah.
The good thing, I think, people see a man and a woman working together, ministering together,
complementing
each other. So I think that's nice.
Definitely. And Marianne has such a sweet nature, and
she's
a great communicator.
Yeah.
And so
she makes me look good.
You're a pretty good preacher. I've heard you preach in English, and you're one of the best. And you're a fiery preacher. So how much do you think, your presentation on a Sunday, the worship, the stage? I mean, your worship has always been wonderful. You've always had a great band. A lot of them came to C3 College.
A lot of them.
And are now serving here. In terms of your attention to the stage, because the reason I'm asking is because we've always got to be careful that we're trying to build the church not from the stage, but from the floor, from the pew.
Right.
And I think to prevent that idea of people just coming along to watch what's going on, but actually to participate, like you were saying, Marianne, you know, how have you managed that?
We celebrate our volunteers. We give them always, whenever there's something about us, we give it back to all the volunteers. It's a teamwork.
Right.
And we celebrate our volunteers with their, you know, nights, ministry nights and different things.
It's true that our setting with a stage can actually, you know, you can fall into the trap of performance. Mm-hmm. Actually, this morning, I said to our teams, I said, listen, we've got Pastor Phil, we want to do our best. You know, we're going to play nice and hard and everything, but we're not there to impress anyone.
Right.
You know, we're there to serve God.
Yes.
And we had to kill that performance spirit. Doesn't mean you do a bad job.
No. Yeah.
It means what you do it for the Lord.
Yes.
So that's what we try to do for. And we also try to give space during the worship a little bit. Maybe this morning, I don't know if you noticed, but you try to have a little bit of space for people to fill in, you know, not too full on all the time. So
that's the public life of your church, worship and gathering of the people. What is the private life of your church, like the prayer and what's going on behind the scenes, debriefing meetings, planning meetings?
Yeah. So, we have an exec meeting every other week. Mm-hmm. Once a month, it's more the operational side. And once a month, it's more the pastoral side. Mm-hmm. So we have those meetings. On the pastoral level, we have different areas like counseling, prayer, orientation. These are social workers that can give advice and help people sort of for the next step. Connect groups, interest groups. We have so many different things that are going on that hopefully meet people's needs.
Who manages all that?
People, like exec people, what we call them. So we've got
about 15 people altogether.
Yeah, maybe 10 to 15, not sure. Mm-hmm. But great people. I carry some load and I have a heart for the church and for the people. Right. So, I've got lots of meetings going on during the week. We try not to have too many.
Right.
We try to build a relationship. We try to go for getaway.
Right.
Prayer times. We have a prayer meeting once a month. So, we try not to be organized only, but also, you know, be relational, loving each other.
Right.
And we're probably a little different than a lot of C3 churches in the way that hopefully we don't put a lot of pressure on people.
Right.
We sometimes accept something slightly.
Do you mean
less
other
good.
Churches bring pressure on people?
Some do.
No. What you're saying, I was about to say that. I was about to say a lot of churches have a revival mindset, and they think they've got to have a lot going on, and they demand a lot from their volunteers. And I've noticed every time I've been here that the sense of ease
yeah.
in your people, and they don't look
Morning.
Harassed
no.
or like, no. you know, it's like you're quite content to not expect a lot
no.
from your people.
Totally. Yeah. They have a life, they have yeah. responsibilities, they have a family, a job. And so we're very much aware of that. And
the people, they have to perform on Monday.
Yes.
That's their mission field.
Right.
Sometimes we make Sunday the day, and for me, that's the day. You know, we work hard, we want, you know, but the game is not on Sunday.
Right.
The Sunday is the time where you get, you know, a time with the coach and refreshed, and but then they have to go out on yes. Monday and do the work of the ministry.
Yes. Yes.
So sometimes churches maybe are guilty of making too much effort into the weekend.
Yeah.
And then the people are worn out, and then Monday they don't do anything yeah. for the
and,
Lord.
And the goal is for people to stay and to do life with us for a long time. So
yeah.
we want to give
it's
that
balance,
freedom to
it
people.
Is. It is a balance. You've got to work, but you know, there's a principle when the productivity of a company starts going down, inevitably the CEO and everybody else start to increase their workload mm. and trying to counteract that, mm. thinking that harder work, longer hours, more demanding schedules
yeah.
are going to actually turn that around.
Yeah.
And it may have a slight effect on it, but in actual fact, sometimes it actually increases the downward
okay.
output. Mm. And to find that place of rest and yet being productive
mm.
is such a spiritual key for the power of God to flow through us. Because if we think it's going to depend on our work for it to grow, then we're going to miss the point. Unless the Lord builds the house,
yeah. mm-hmm.
they labor in vain who build it. And so, and then, you know, like the sharpened axe, like if the axe is dull, you've got to use more
right.
strength.
Right.
And being sharper and restful is better than being dull yes. and working. Yes.
And simply loving people,
mm-hmm.
just being there for them, phoning people,
now, this
asking
brand
questions.
New concept.
Is brand that a... But sometimes we forget about that.
I know, the church.
We need to stop and just to listen and have some fun and hug people. And
that's what you've been for us
yeah.
all over the years.
Right.
Busy, but always available.
We felt
right.
loved.
Yes.
Right.
And I think once you feel loved, it's a
right.
joy to participate.
Right.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, well, we don't just love you. We are so proud of you mm-hmm. and celebrate you all the time. Talk about you all over the world about
well,
the great
shouldn't.
Things that are happening in Lausanne. Well, we have a lot of great churches, and we do
yes.
talk about,
yes.
I have no problem in bragging about what the Lord's doing mm. in so many of our great churches all over the planet. And any last thoughts about church life?
I mean, it's relying on the Holy Spirit. It's pretty basic, but if you want to build a church, you're not going to do it through your
own strength.
God's going to use you, mm-hmm. obviously. But you have to be able to rely on the Holy Spirit, trust that what he has given you is enough,
mm-hmm.
and he will do the job through you.
Right.
So that was a big shift. So I can believe in me, I can believe what mm-hmm. God has given me is enough.
Mm-hmm.
And I can minister out of a place of security.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not trying to impress anyone. I'm just serving God with his Holy Spirit.
Beautiful.
And it works.
Yes.
It works.
Yes.
Preach the gospel too. We've been preaching the gospel, not, you know, we don't talk about issues or present ministry.
Political issues.
And we just preach the gospel.
Right.
The gospel works.
Yes. Yes.
It's the power of God.
It's the power of God.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. Fantastic. Thanks for both being here and for running such a great church. And it's always a delight to see you.
Thank you, Pastor Phil.
Thank you, Pastor yeah. Phil.
You've imparted.
Yeah, we love you. We
Bless
love the
you.
Movement.
Thanks, guys. We'll talk again soon. Hey, thanks so much for joining us. If you're a pastor or a leader, we'd love to connect with you throughout the year around the world, and our regional gatherings are a great opportunity for pastors to come and discover who we are as a movement. Or if you simply want to come and be refreshed and blessed, you're more than welcome. If you're interested, reach out at hello@c3churchglobal.com. That's hello@c3churchglobal.com. See you again soon.